Isaiah chapter number 53. Isaiah chapter number 53. Let's pray, and then we'll read the entirety of these 10 verses. And or 12 verses, and then we'll deal with verse 1. Dear Heavenly Father, we're grateful that we can come back tonight and just sing the truth that you save. And we sing it as saved people. Excited that we are saved and that we have been saved by the power of God in Christ Jesus. We're grateful for the privilege to be back, to worship together. It is a joy, and we're grateful for these joys that you give us here. We pray tonight as we begin this series on this chapter in Isaiah, that speaks so clearly of the coming of Christ and His suffering and His crucifixion for us, for our salvation. I pray, God, that You would kindle in us afresh and anew appreciation and a deeper glory in You. We ask that You would do these things in Christ's name. Amen. Verse 1, Isaiah 53, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form, nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised, and he is rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as if it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare this generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. And that's God's word. And all God's people said, amen. That's a great chapter. Great word from the prophet Isaiah. It's interesting that Isaiah prophesies about 650 years before the coming of Christ. So 650 years before Christ actually comes, we have the prophecy of Isaiah 53, which clearly, I think, speaks of Jesus Christ. I think you would have to be very dishonest with the text to say Isaiah 53 was not speaking of Christ. Now, the Jews don't believe it is speaking of Christ. They believe it's speaking of the nation of Israel itself, who has gone through various sufferings and difficulties unfairly. Matter of fact, the Jews do not read Isaiah 53 in the synagogue. They read Isaiah 52 and go to Isaiah 54, refusing to read Isaiah 53. And you can understand that if you don't believe that Christ was the Messiah and that he came to suffer and die for his people, and that's how he saved them, you wouldn't read it either, right? And so they don't. Isaiah lives and prophesies prior to the nation of Israel being carried off into captivity. The northern kingdom has already been taken off into captivity, and Isaiah now informs the southern kingdom that they too will have to endure captivity. But the message of Isaiah is not just you're going to be taken into captivity, but he also has good news that their captivity, that captivity will be only 70 years, and then God will come and deliver them. But what we read here in this prophecy of Isaiah 53 is that not only God will deliver them from captivity, but God is going to meet a greater need that they have, and that would be deliverance from their sins. And we also need deliverance from our sins. And so, God will deliver from sin through the sending of a servant that will come and suffer. And as we read the text, you can just see the anguish and the suffering that the prophet Isaiah foretells of this servant that will come. Again, we understand that this servant to be Jesus Christ. And I don't think there's any question about that. The particular servant song that is a part of chapter 53 begins back in chapter 52 in verse number 13 and continues into chapter 53. And this is the most detailed passage in the Old Testament that concerns the death and the suffering and the resurrection of the Messiah. It is the prophecy of the exaltation of the Messiah that is to come, and that exaltation comes through suffering. And so tonight, I only want us to look at verse number 1, and I want us to notice the rejected servant. The rejected servant. Let's read that one verse again. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now, that's a complaint. If you don't get that, that's a lament. That's a complaint. It's almost said and written and prophesied in a skepticism or a very skeptical, pessimistic idea. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And so I want to give you three things. Number one, the proclamation of the gospel is our report. It was the report of Isaiah, and it is our report as well. What Isaiah says to the nation of Israel is the gospel. That's what he proclaims. That's what he calls his report. Who hath believed our report? Who hath believed our communication? Who hath believed our message? And the message is the message of the gospel in the Old Testament. So there is a report, this report, of good news. And you would think that everyone would believe good news. But there are so many who have failed to believe it. And the question is, why is that? Why is this report, the gospel of good news, why is it so largely ignored and not believed? We're going to address that tonight, hopefully. But I want to begin by looking at the report itself. Again, the word report here means message or communication. Isaiah is communicating a message of good news. He has a report that he is to deliver. What is that report? Well, it's good news. And the substance of this good news report that we read is Jesus Christ. Listen, there is no good news for a sinner that is void of Jesus Christ. He is the good news. And if Jesus Christ is not the substance of our gospel, if Jesus Christ is not the substance of our message and our communication, it's not good news. For us to encourage people to work out their own salvation, to try, do better, try harder, that's bad news. The good news is Jesus Christ came and did all there is required to do for our salvation. And so from beginning to end, this prophetic word of Isaiah is the message of the coming Messiah, the message of Jesus Christ. Who is Christ, is the only one who can deliver us from our sins. He is the only one who can save us from the wrath of God. Therefore, you and I do not have several subjects to communicate. We have just one subject to communicate, and that subject is Jesus Christ. Of course, the message is the message of a suffering and dying Jesus Christ. Say amen. It's the message of a dying and suffering servant, not an overcoming or a political person. It's a servant that God has sent that will suffer and die on the cross. And you know that the Jews were looking for a physical salvation. They were looking for a political savior. They were looking for a powerful savior that would come and would release them from whatever bondage that they were under. But listen, that's not the message. The message is of a suffering servant who comes to die on the cross in the place of his people. And that's the only message that saves. It is the only message that deals with our sin. It is the only message that rescues us from the bondage of sin. The only thing that saves is Jesus Christ. Why would we say anything else if that's the only message that saves? And then not only do we see the substance of that message, but we see that there is one single message. It is not Christ the teacher. It is not Christ the miracle worker. It is not Christ the prophet. It is not Christ the disciple maker. It's Christ the suffering servant. If your message does not include the suffering and death of Christ on the cross, it's not the right message. Isaiah did not deliver several messages. He delivered one message. Christ, the Messiah, will come and suffer and die. And it is through the death of Christ and the suffering of Christ that we will be able to have life. Now, folks, that's the message. That's the message that Isaiah prophesied. That's the message that the other prophets prophesied. That's the message that we are to deliver as well. Christ came to seek and save the lost. He died for them. He suffered for them. He rose for them. He's coming again for them. We must tell people what Jesus Christ did to redeem them of their sins. And we must tell them that's the only way they can be saved. Amen? So, we see here the proclamation of the gospel is our report. Who hath believed our communication? Who hath believed our report? Who hath believed the gospel? Who hath believed our words that the Messiah is coming, but He will suffer and He will die to save His people? That's the message. That's the gospel. Notice secondly, not only do we see here the proclamation of the gospel is our report, but secondly we see the promised Messiah must be believed and not just heard. The promised Messiah, or the message of the promised Messiah, must be believed and not just heard. Now, the message of the coming Savior is not limited to Isaiah 53 in the Old Testament. It's all over the Old Testament. The Christ is coming, the Savior is coming, the Messiah is coming. It began way back in Genesis, did it not? When God slew innocent animals to clothe the nakedness of Adam and Eve. And did not God tell Adam and Eve that there would be one who would crush the head of Satan while he bruised his heel? The clear prophecy of a coming Messiah. So all throughout the Old Testament there are these prophecies that tell of a Savior that is to come. Matter of fact, everyone that was saved in the Old Testament had to believe in the Savior that was to come. And so the Jews had heard about this coming Messiah from prophet after prophet. They had heard the Messiah is coming, the Messiah is coming, and He will save His people from their sins. While they had heard Him many times, something that they failed to do was believe. They didn't believe. They had heard it. They didn't believe it. And in fact, they had fallen into the same trappings that we sometimes fall upon and in. They became devoted to God religiously while they failed to believe in the coming reality of the Messiah. And we do it as well. Now, there is a lot of religious activity in our day and very little authentic faith. Especially here in the South, where you can throw a rock from one Baptist church to another. Say amen. But here we are in the Bible Belt, in the South, with all these churches, and yet our culture all around us continues to turn from God and turn from the truth. Do you know the average? I heard the statistic this week and I about fell out in my seat. Do you know the average professing Christian in a church in America goes to church twice a month? That's normal for a professing believer to go to church twice a month. Many profess to believe, however, their lives are lived without any reference to God. We trade God's standards for whatever we consider to be good and expedient. We seek the good life not through God and His things, but through pleasure or success or power. And I'm going to say something tonight. Hearing the message in America is not the problem. It's not the problem in America. The gospel is being proclaimed. It's in churches. It's on the radio. It's on TV. The gospel is being proclaimed all over the place in America. Hearing the message is not the problem. Most have heard it and have heard it many, many times. The problem is what? Believing it. That's the problem. We by nature simply will not believe this report. This is why so many churches and so many preachers change the message. Because people won't believe this message. It's a losing message. Are you with me? So for them to be successful, they have to change the message. And so they prettied up, or they take some things out, and they make a message that is easy to believe. But you understand, a message that is made easy to believe, that's not the real message, is not really of any value. The message of Christ's suffering and Christ crucified for us that must be believed, or there's no salvation, is just something that people just don't want to believe. Of course, the reason why we won't believe this report is that it points us back to one who is Lord and one who is Savior. And He must be worshipped and He must be praised. And the problem is, we want to be God, not recognizing someone else that is God. We want to be praised. We want to be worshipped and not praise and worship someone else. And you understand as well as I do that we take the Lord much too casually. We get far more excited over a ball game than learning about God. Say amen. We will not seek the things of God. We have very little interest in them. The Puritan Thomas Manton said, "It is a sign people do not prize a thing when they do not labor after it." And I would say amen. What you prize, you labor after. What you don't prize, you don't. I think he's right. So the question is, who hath believed our report? And the answer is nobody. In and of their own ability, nobody believes it. Say amen. The Bible says in the New Testament, we think that it's foolishness. Yes? For God to save us through the death of a Savior is foolishness. That's what the Bible says. For us to deliver a message that saving comes from losing, that living comes from dying, and redemption comes through suffering, that is utter foolishness. But of course, the lack of people believing the message should not cause us to change the message. If the message that Isaiah delivered is the only message that will save, if Christ is the only one who can redeem us from our sins, why would we change the message? Just so that we can get a positive affirmation from people. The message must remain the same, and we must expect that people in and of themselves will not believe it. The message is rejected because the Christ of the message is rejected. So the good news of Jesus Christ is always met with unbelief. Do you remember when God sent Isaiah to begin with? God said, "Isaiah, I want you to go and I want you to preach to the people of Israel. And here's what's going to happen. Ain't none of them going to believe you." That's what he sent. That's the words he sent Isaiah with. Go preach. Go deliver the message. But they ain't going to listen to you. And they ain't going to believe. Boy, that's a real shot in the arm, isn't it? Makes you really want to go. Get excited about going preaching. Ain't nobody going to listen. Ain't nobody going to believe. That's what God told Isaiah when he sent him. And so Isaiah says, "Who hath believed our report?" Nobody. But then he says this, "To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" That brings us to our third point. Number one, the proclamation of the gospel is our report. We are to communicate Jesus Christ, Him suffering, Him dying on the cross for our sins. The promised Messiah must not just be heard, but those that hear it must believe it. There's no value in just hearing the gospel. The gospel must be believed. Thirdly, the power of God is demonstrated in the revealing of Christ. If the good news is communicated and if everyone who hears it by nature rejects it and refuses to believe it, how is anyone ever saved? That's the question, right? The question I ask. know if you ask it or not, but I did. If the good news is communicated, if Christ, Him crucified, is communicated for the forgiveness of our sins, if everyone who hears that message by nature rejects it and refuses to believe it, how is anyone ever saved? And the answer is, because God, in His power, reveals Christ to their hearts, issues to them faith and repentance so that they can believe. Or, if we go to the New Testament, what's the New Testament say? What's Jesus say in John? The Father must draw. Say amen. No one comes to the Father by me, but the Father must draw sinners to Himself. And so it is the arm of the Lord that saves. It is the power of God that saves souls. But it is not recognized that until Christ is revealed by God. And the Jews, they missed it. And Isaiah explains that few believe the message of salvation because you cannot recognize the arm of the Lord without a divine revelation. And in Isaiah 53:1 here, Isaiah laments that the unbelieving heart is blind and deaf and cannot understand or receive the way of salvation unless God reveals it to them. So how many of you tonight are saved? Raise your hand. You know how you got saved? God's powerful arm revealed Christ to you. And this suffering Christ, this Christ that died on the cross became beautiful to you because God revealed that to you. Amen? Paul said this. He said that I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the what? Power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. It is through the hearing of the Word of God that faith is given. And you remember when Jesus, who asked His disciples who they thought He was, what did Peter say? Peter said, Thou art the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. Right answer, right? And Jesus didn't say, You're so smart. Or Jesus didn't say, You're so discerning. What did Jesus say? He said, Blessed thou art, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Is that true? Yeah. To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? We see here the necessity of revelation beyond revelation. You see, the message is communicated. The message is out. The message can be heard. And it must be heard and it must be believed. But the message which must be heard and believed must also be revealed. If I preach and I preach the truth and you hear the truth, it falls on deaf ears unless God does something with it. It's so foolish and arrogant for us to think it's in a preacher, or it's in me. No, it's in the power of God. In order to hear and believe the message of salvation in Christ, God by His Spirit must reveal the truth to our inner man. That is why Jesus says in John 44 that no one can come to Jesus unless God, what? Draws him. It is absolutely true that it is essential to believe if we are to be saved. If we don't believe, we're not going to be saved. Say amen. And it's also absolutely true that no one will believe unless God reveals the power of the gospel to us. We will be like everyone else, rejecting Christ and rejecting the gospel. And don't you see that today? I mean, it was true in Isaiah's time. It's still true today, right? Sometimes you see someone, they come into church and they don't know anything about God and they're empty of the things of God until one day, one seemingly random Sunday, God opens their eyes and they see the beauty of Christ and they come and they follow Christ. And on the flip side of that, you see a person who's been in the pews for years, but they're as cold as ice to the things of God and to the gospel, and their life is totally unchanged. What makes the difference? The power of God makes the difference. Amen? It is through this message of the suffering servant Jesus Christ that anyone is ever saved. Old Testament, they look toward the coming Messiah. We look back toward a Messiah that has come and died on the cross. It is only through this message of Jesus Christ dying for His people is anyone ever saved. And it is only as God reveals Christ to us that we will ever believe. But the good news is He does reveal Christ to us. He does reveal Christ to people, and people do believe, and people are saved, and we all should thank God that that's true. Thank God that's true for me. You know, I was probably branded by the church I got saved in the least likely to ever do anything. I think they more tolerated me than prayed for me. Matter of fact, I think some of them would have been quite happy if I would have died and went to hell. But you know what happened? God saved me. And He saved me at a point in my life that I was not looking for Him. I was not running after Him. But you know what He did? He came looking for me. And He showed me the beauty of Christ and saved me. And I don't think anybody in that church was real happy that I got saved. You know how they are. Oh, it'll never last. He's a faker. It'll never last. Well, I guess we're pumping 30-some years now. God's been good. Amen. God's been good. And I think some of them are still waiting for the failure. And the failure may come, I don't know. But I'm here to tell you, there was a day when I had absolutely no interest in God or Christ or anything like that. And then there was a day in which I was extremely interested. And the only thing that I can pin that on is the power of God who revealed Jesus Christ to me. And I'm thankful that He did. Amen. Let's pray.